Like to begin in the book of Joel. Third chapter of Joel. Just before Amos. Beginning with the 12th verse. Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full, the fats overflow. For their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. I want us to get a picture of the vision that he saw here and looking out, as it were, over a valley where he saw many, many people gathered together into this place. Multitudes he saw, throngs upon throngs of people that were gathered and assembled into this one place, he said, into this valley. The valley, he said, of decision. There are multitudes that are gathered in this place. I want us to get a vision, and it seems like as the burdens were brought out throughout this meeting, I believe there is an urgency that is going forth, that the Lord wants to prepare every one of us to have an awareness of the times that we live in, of the day that we're in, of the signs of the times about us, that we see that we're in a time, in a world where multitudes are gathered into a valley of decision. This word decision, it also means an excision. It's a valley of decision, of a deciding point, of a judgment place, a place of judgment where the Lord decides the destiny of those that are gathered in this place. Many times we read in the writings of David and others, the idea of, Lord, how long? How long will the heathen rage? How long will you allow this to continue and to go on? They exalt themselves against your name and against your cause. Lord, is there no end? Remember David in the 73rd Psalm? He said, my feet had almost slipped as I considered the prosperity of the wicked. I looked at the way that they were going. It seemed like they prospered in all that they did. It seemed like they just went on, and there was no end to it. And he said, here am I, trying to do the right thing, trying to make the right decisions. But he said, as I went back to the place of the Lord, I went back to the temple, and then I considered their end. And I realized and I remembered, you know, sometimes we need to be recalibrated. Sometimes we need a reminder, I believe, every one of us tonight. A reminder of what life is all about. Ecclesiastes, the 8th chapter. I'd like to look at a few verses here. 8th chapter of Ecclesiastes. I've heard this brought out in this meeting. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall not be well, that it shall be well within the fear of God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. Though he continues on, and it seems like his life, there's no judgment to what he does. You wonder sometimes, Lord, how far will our world be able to go? How far are you going to allow this to continue? But I know whenever I stop and I consider the end of this thing. You know, I've read the end of the book, and I know how this thing ends. We're able to look and know where this thing is headed. The Lord would have every one of us to have an awareness of the times that we live in. The Lord has come to a place many times, we read about it, that he finally said, it is enough. I've had enough. I've had all that I can take. It's time now for a decision. It's time for a cutting aside. Now it's time. The day of my mercy and grace is over. Now it's the day of the Lord. Matthew, the 13th chapter, remember the parable that Jesus spoke of the tares that were sown with the wheat. They asked, shall we go and gather these out, pluck them out? And he said, no, Lest while you do it, you damage the wheat. But let them both grow together. And then in the final judgment day, they'll grow together for a time. I'll allow the wickedness to continue. I'll send my son upon the wicked and the just. My rain on the just and on the unjust. But the time is coming. The day of the Lord is approaching that I'll judge their works. Where we'll have to give account to the one with whom we have to do. That the Lord who looks down and knows the secret of every heart. That I'll stand and give an account in that day. But he said, you let them grow up together. Scripture talks about in the first book of Peter, the third chapter, when once the long suffering of God continued in the days of Noah. What was it, 100, 120 years that Noah, the Bible calls him a preacher of righteousness, that the mercy of God continued. His long suffering continued over that time. I'm so thankful the Lord's judgment is always preceded by mercy. It's always preceded by opportunity and warning and the call to come while there's still opportunity and time. But I'd like to look at the 24th chapter of Matthew. Matthew, the 24th chapter, beginning with the 35th verse. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. You ever stop and consider how that could be? These individuals, how many people in 100 years' time might have wondered by the place where it wasn't hidden. It wasn't a project certainly that was in Noah's back shed. This was an ark that was immense. And in the building of it, I have to believe that the preacher of righteousness told what the Lord had told him, told of what was coming. So how was it that they come to a place that they didn't know it was coming? How is it with all the warnings that had gone forth, yet they were still in a place that they were conditioned, that it completely caught them by surprise? But yet Jesus said it'll be the same way. It'll be the same way, and I want us to realize the parallel in our time that we live in. How many years the gospel message has gone forth? How many times we've heard messages like this? You know one of the dangers of our times? We can become so desensitized to the simple gospel message that it doesn't affect me. And so I have to be able to add something to it. We have to be able to somehow, we've piped unto you and you haven't danced. We've mourned, you haven't lamented. And what else could we do? Isaiah the 5th chapter. The Lord said, I planted a vineyard. I've done all that I know to do. He said, what more can I have done that I have not already done? You know it'll be that way when the Lord returns. He'll be able to say, I've done everything I know to do. I've given every opportunity that I know to do. What more could I do? What more could be asked or expected for me to do? But you know, I can't offer you something that you haven't heard before. I can't come and somehow give you a presentation that will add shock factor. That's what Hollywood has to do. That's what the gaming industry has to do. After a while, you become so numb to the same level that you have to be able to add a shock factor to it. Add something else in addition to it. We've got to be able to, folks, we don't need to put a production to this thing. We don't need to turn it into a movie. Folks, it is the Word of God, and if the Word of God can't stir us, I fear for where we are. Lord, help me that I be stirred. I prayed last night, Lord, help me that I be stirred by this kind of message. I don't want to go on and be unmoved and untouched by it. Folks, it's the truth of where we're at. The Lord's trying to stir us, everyone. You know, we can think of a message like this as being a warning to the sinner, and it is. But it's a warning to every one of us. Be prepared. How is it that we're living our lives? Somehow with all the messages and warnings that went forth in Noah's day, Yet they came to a point that they were completely caught off guard and surprised. You think about it. Do you realize Noah's neighbors at one point saw a procession of animals going past their houses? Don't you think that would cause you to stop and think? Whenever you realize, you know what, Noah's been preaching this. Noah's been telling us for 100 years that in the end, when the ark's prepared and now we see it's finished, you know what? He said that God was going to bring 2 or 7 of every kind of animal. And I'm seeing it happen. Don't you think that would surely be enough to say, I realize now. I realize when the animals were going into the ark, folks, the door was still open. The door, the opportunity was still there. But do you realize what had happened? Their hearts had been hardened. They had turned from the message for so long. They had disregarded it for so many years that their hearts had been conditioned to the place that even the signs that are so evident before me, I can't see it. And that's some of what we read of warning in the New Testament. Having ears to hear, but they don't hear. They have eyes to see, but they don't see. They hear the message. They see the same. How is it that you look and you're able to discern the face of the sky? But yet you can't discern the signs of the times. You can't, as we heard last night, you know, I could look out on the world and say, yeah, that's wrong. That's evil. But yet not realize the influence that it's having on me. Not realize that I've begun to get to a place that the hatred, the abhorrence I had for it, being affected. I'm not able to be stirred like I was. I hear the messages and I've heard them over and over. We've heard the term gospel hardened. Lord, help us. Lord, help us that I not get to a place that I become so conditioned that the Lord's not able to stir. And so they saw the animals. They saw the procession. They watched them going up the ramp, perhaps it was, into the ark. And yet, were they still scoffing? Were they still mocking and laughing and saying, how do you explain it? Folks, how do you explain the things that are happening today? How do you explain, you know, this message has gone out so many years, so many generations it's gone out. The day of the Lord is at hand. I'm not here to tell you tonight that it'll be tomorrow, next year. But I want us to realize the signs of the times. Folks, look at them. There is an urgency that I, and I'm not alone, feel that it's time to get ready. It's time to prepare. Today is the day of salvation. You look at all the, over the last decades, centuries of our country, the explosion of technology. Technology in and of itself is not wrong. But technology and knowledge that exalts itself against the knowledge of the Creator. The knowledge of man that exalts themselves as gods. That they're willingly ignorant. Scripture says that the world was formed. Can't remember just how they go. But they're willfully ignorant of this fact. They willingly turn their back on the very fact of it. You fast forward a little ways from Noah's day to a valley where a nation got together under Nimrod and said, let's build a tower. And let's make us a name. I'd like to read some of that. I believe it's in Genesis, the 11th chapter. I want you to listen to the tone of what they said. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and dwelt there. Then they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them throughly. And they had brick for stone and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. Let us make us a name lest we be scattered abroad across the face of the whole earth. You know the word that I see over and over and over in this? Us. Let us. Let us go and build us a tower and make us a name that we may be exalted, completely removing God from a picture. You realize I can't prove it, But at this point in time, there could have been over on the horizon an ark that was still in view. It wasn't that far removed from the time when the Lord sent a flood to destroy the world. And yet, with a distant memory of that and perhaps even the sight of it, they still so quickly turned and forgot. And so it is with every nation that forgets God. With every nation that turns and all that we have as a nation and as a people here so close on the horizon of all God has done for us. And yes, so quickly turning our backs on Him and going and making ourselves a name and exalting ourselves, and with the explosion of knowledge and technology, the rapid decay of morality, of godliness in our world. Folks, this climaxes somewhere. This rate doesn't continue forever. The signs of the times that we're living in today. After that time, when they stepped out of the ark, the Lord sent a promise, a covenant, and said, I'll never again send the waters to cover the face of the earth to destroy it in judgment. Next time it'll be fire. Next time when I send the judgment upon the world, the earth, it'll be by fire. There are events in the Bible that you would consider seminal events that forever change the course of history. Forever change the course of mankind. The flood certainly did. The birth, the crucifixion, resurrection of Christ certainly was one that forever changed the course of history. And you read there on a dark hillside when the angels came in all the glory and they announced unto the shepherds. It was almost as if they were in suspense, just holding it in, waiting for the moment, waiting for the time when the Lord said, now is the appointed time. Now is the due season. Go and tell the good news of the Savior. That'll change the course of the world. And so they went and they heralded it. They announced it. You read in the 19th chapter of Revelation, almost a similar scene of the last wedding. That wedding day, whenever it says there was a loud noise in heaven where they cried out and said, the marriage of the Lamb has come. And I see in that almost a suspense in heaven, a knowledge, an awareness. The Scripture says, no man, not the angels, nor the Son, knows the day nor the hour, but the Father alone. But being able to sense and know this thing's drawing down to a close, I believe the enemy knows that his time is short. The time will come, Scripture says in second chapter of Isaiah, that the lofty looks of man God will deal with, and the Lord alone in that day will be exalted. Because in that day, it's not the day of man, it's the day of the Lord. That's all that's left. Now the time for your pride and your exaltation, it's over. The time for you to go your own way is over. Now it's the day of the Lord. Now it's the time when the only one exalted will be Christ. The only one exalted will be Him, and every knee will bow before Him in the day of the Lord. Oh, this world is trying so hard. They're running so hard. Trying to prove, spending millions of dollars on a particle accelerator. Why? Trying to prove that there is no God and take the accountability away unto a God that they'd have to give account unto. I'd like to look at the third chapter of 2 Peter. Second Peter 3. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. I want to write this to you, wasn't even addressed unto the sinner, but I want to write this to you, beloved brethren, that you'd be stirred up, that you'd recall the things that have been written. I don't write a new thing to you, but I want to remind you of the things that have been spoken. You know, the Lord's track record of prophecy is infallible. Every time that he prophesied, it came to pass exactly as he spoke. We heard some about the destruction of Jerusalem. Exactly as Christ prophesied. He was looking from the perspective of, I know this is coming. I know you're not able, you have no idea what's about to come upon you. But I'm able to look at that and I'm able to see what's coming. And it came to pass exactly as was prophesied. The flood came to pass. Nothing that man could do would change that. And so he says, remember what's been spoken. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. A spirit of unbelief pervading our world. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Whenever I stop and consider the power of God, a God that's able to say, let there be. It's able, we and all of the knowledge of man and all the depths that they've tried to delve into of physics and astronomy and the way God's creation works, of all the knowledge that they've been able to acquire, and yet still not scratching the surface, that God in a moment was able to speak and say, let it be. And it all came into being exactly like it is with all of its complexity. What a great and a mighty God it is. A God that's able to speak to those that try to offer a sacrifice unto Him, not according to His word, and cause the earth to open up. A God that's able to stop the sun in its course, the very rotation of the earth. He's able to stop it in its place. A God that's able to do that. We sing a song that says, by the word of God, the worlds were made and are held in place by His command. You know, some people see God as a God that created the world and then He stepped back and He took His hands off. And He let it just run and take its course. I believe the Lord put systems in place to be able to work. But I don't believe He's a God that's afar off. What I see in this scripture is the very word that's spoken into existence is holding this thing together. The very laws of nature that He created, it's on His word that those things stand. Goes on to talk about the 10th verse, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? That word dissolved, it refers to a loosening, a turning loose of the very bonds that hold molecules and atoms together, of all the molecular bonds, the ionic bonds, the covalent bonds, all that stuff that I've forgotten. All those things that are holding the very particles and building blocks of nature together. The very delicate balance of the ecosystem. You know, it's because of a great God that's holding all this together. Man can sometimes think that they're so great. They're so capable of doing so much, and all God has to do is send an earthquake. How sudden are the earthquakes that you feel here? Not as severe, certainly, as many. Do you feel a warning? Not usually. When we were here the other night, it was all of a sudden we heard a bang. You could hear it and you could feel it. You know, just that suddenly, the day of the Lord will come. And as I mentioned, I'm not here preaching or presenting anything new or different, or here to tell you that we're right on the brink of it. I feel an urgency that we're drawing close and it's time to deal with God. But folks, I want to review a couple facts here. The fact of the matter is, one sunrise will be the last sunrise. The fact of the matter is, one generation that is born will be the generation that is on the face of the earth when the Lord returns. Could it be ours? Could it be this generation? You know, I have to believe by what Jesus said, as in the days of Noah. So they were eating, drinking, giving in marriage, that it'll be a routine day. It'll be a day that's just about like any other. There'll be those that are in the airport waiting to catch connecting flights. There'll be those that are on their way to work. There'll be those that are working, those that are sleeping, those that are getting married, celebrating the occasions of life. There'll be those blaspheming God. There'll be those perhaps in a worship service, I hope, such as this. And in a time when it's least expected, no premonitions whatsoever, except to those that are wise and see the signs of the time. No warning, no premonition. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the end comes. Folks, whenever God says, let there be, there is. Whenever God speaks and says, let it happen, it happens. Whenever God shuts the door of an ark, it's shut. Whenever God says it is finished, it's finished. In that moment when all the molecules and atoms that hold this world together are dissolved and the bonds of them are broken apart with a great noise, folks, in a moment just like that, it'll be over. Time will be no more. There will be no, as is so broadly accepted and believed today, an opportunity, there will be a rapture in a premillennial period. No. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, it'll be over. And in that day, we'll stand and give an account to the one that judges all things. In that day, it'll be the day of the Lord. But folks, today is another day. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of opportunity, the day of warning. As the parallel that Jesus drew, today is the day whenever the door of the ark is open. And I believe we're starting to see the animals, so to speak, heading into the ark. And folks, the message still goes out. The cry is still extended. The invitation still goes forth. Folks, there's time. And I believe the real crux of the message for us, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Folks, I don't believe fear of judgment is the sole motivation of salvation. I hope it's not for you. Folks, there's so much more. There's such a richer. You realize what salvation will do? Salvation will take something that'll be the most dreadful thing I could imagine. Can you imagine the sudden realization? Maybe right in the, I didn't take the opportunity to make things right with the Lord. I had question on my life. I was going the wrong way. I thought I had time to all of a sudden come awake and alert with a horrid realization. It's too late. It's over. I can call for the rocks and the boulders, but it'll do no good. There's no salvation now. I can cry for mercy, but the door is shut. You know what the invitation is tonight? I'll take that and turn it into something that's the most joyous, blessed occasion that could ever happen. The realization now, all the fear, the sting of death is gone. And now I can look for that day and hasting unto the appearing of the Lord. Folks, what a change and transformation it is. I don't have to dread. I don't have to go to bed at night wondering, doubting. Folks, I can remember the feeling. Lord, please not tonight. Please not right now. I don't know. There's some cloud in my mind here. I don't want to stand before you tonight. Folks, are you ready? Not the profession, not where I've been telling folks I am. Are you ready right now? If this was the day of the Lord, would you be ready? If this was the moment that the Lord returned, a question that only I can answer, where would I be? What manner of persons ought every one of us to be? It's not the motivation, but folks, it ought to be the backdrop of every decision that I make. It ought to give us a real weight to what life is all about. To the decisions that I make. Folks, to the importance of doing business with God. It shows us what's at stake. It shows us what we stand to lose. Lord, help us that we never lose the picture of it. That I never lose the fear of God, as so many in this world are doing. As they're getting so quickly to the place that they're hardened and can't be awakened, and all that's happening, you just wake up. Wake up. Won't you see what's right before you? Lord, I don't want to get to that place. I don't want to get to the place that I can't be stirred and awakened to a need that's in my soul. First chapter of Hebrews, it talks about God who upheld all things by the word of His power. It's able to hold all things in place. Cause it is the long suffering of God still in our day today is extended to us. But folks, time's running out. For many people since that time, and often we refer, you know, even if the second coming of the Lord doesn't come in our life, it'll come for me. And so it will. But I want us to realize the reality of this event. The reality of what's coming that's just as real as the flood that was prophesied, that was hard for folks to imagine. I can't comprehend. Folks, I can't comprehend what it'll be on that day. It's hard for me to grasp what that'll be like. But it came, didn't it? It became a reality very quickly to all those that were there. As the door shut, was it 7 days later, the rain began to come, the deep began to be opened up, and there was no doubt then. No unbelieving then. Folks, I want to give us the invitation from the Lord tonight. Let's do business with God. Let's search our own hearts. Lord, am I ready? Have I been? And folks, I can say I believe it. I can say I've heard these things all my life. I can say, you ask me, do you believe it? Do you believe the Lord? Well, sure I do. Yeah, I believe it. But who hath believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been extended? Our actions say louder than our words that we believe. By the actions of our life, by the carefulness of our life, by how close I tend to get to the world, it'll speak something to the amount of fear that I have on my heart. Folks, may the Lord help every one of us, that I be prepared for that day, that I be looking for and hasting unto the day of God. Jesus, so much of the tenor of His message, even as He ascended, the angels were there and met those that looked after Him. And they said, the same Jesus that you saw go up, you'll see Him also return. And in that statement, there was a pivot from the last seminal event, the resurrection of Christ, to point to the day of the Lord. And ever since that time, the clock has been ticking down to the return of Christ. Folks, it's a reality. May it be a reality that doesn't catch any one of us here tonight by surprise. Perhaps we could stand and have a song. You pray for me that I'll be ready. Amen.